Yay!
Ooh, ooh! You can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, no, thank you very much. It is Friday, June 12th. And this is Focus with Paul W. Smith. Relentless positive radio put together by the team, the team, the team. Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons this week, doing a nice job these final few days of the week. Danielle Mason still struggling with her voice, but she still is communicating because she can communicate even with a raspy voice. Let's hear you, Danielle, because we can still understand.
Hi, happy Friday.
There you go. I asked her earlier if she felt okay, and she said she feels fine. She just sounds that way. I think it's kind of cute. Anyway, and Rich Luzinski, the Richmeister, is here, keeping track of our WJR traffic and weather first. You know, I don't know. Is anyone watching on our video that we have? You know, it's out there. We have to remind you, Facebook and YouTube pages are streaming our live video during the show. Depending on how I wear my headphones, I look either bald or balding. And then if I take the headphones off, I still look at least balding. So nothing I can do about it. That's just the way it is. It's life.
I'm in the same boat. That's why I usually wear a hat. Alternative.
You've got a hat on all the
time.
But
if I took my hat off, you'd see my haircut that I got, and it's pretty much.
Well, don't tease us like that. He takes his headphones off. Wow. I didn't know you were that bald. Or did they just shave your head because
it did.
You got a
Well, they shaved
haircut.
My. Well, it's a combination of I just went and said just number one, shave it. And then, but it's going away. The hair's...
These things happen, okay? Yeah. It's just a part of life. And you can do something about it or you can leave it alone. I chose to leave it alone.
I choose to wear a hat as much as I can.
Good for you. You can go anywhere and read about the bridge left hanging as the front page of the Detroit. I didn't get my newspapers today. I don't know if it was because of power outages and the storm last night, but I didn't get my newspapers. But I went online, which I don't like reading newspapers online. I like getting my hands dirty with the ink touching the paper. But be that as it may, I see on the front page they've got the bridge and the left hanging, I think. Clever title or headline. This is shocking. The president believes they're going to sign a peace deal over the over the weekend. Wow. I had not heard that before.
Keep hoping.
Four. Yeah. So you can hear that stuff anywhere. But where can you hear this about Red Lobster? This is the important stuff that affects
Red
all
Lobster?
Of us. Red Lobster is giving one lucky fan endless shrimp for 25 years.
Really?
First of all, you have to have a lot of faith to believe Red Lobster is going to be in business for 25 more years if they keep coming up with harebrained endless shrimp ideas. But the lucky winner can choose between decades of complimentary shrimp or a $15,000 cash payout. There's no hesitation on my part. But
what's
what's
the choice?
I wanted to ask. I'll start with Danielle. 25 years of endless shrimp or 15 grand cash in your pocket now?
Well, I know that our taste buds change every 7 years. So there's a good possibility in 7 years I won't like shrimp. So no, I want the money.
Boy, that's way more thought than I put into it. It's a much longer answer. And I think Rieger's got the same answer as me.
Oh, please give me the money. Yeah. I don't care what the tax implications are.
Yeah.
Come on.
I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, come on.
But $15,000 cash beats 25 years of possibly getting endless shrimp. Red Lobster would be giving you free endless shrimp once a month for 25 years through their endless shrimp card. It's a steel card. A biometric safe and a year of jujitsu classes. What is this a joke? What are they talking about here? It's bad enough you're probably going to turn orange because of the food coloring they put on the shrimp to make it look healthy. Just kidding. I have no idea if that's what they do. But there they got a little free plug, which is what they were looking for, and they got it. We would all take the $15,000. However, Elon Musk might not, since overnight, with his SpaceX IPO valuing the company at $1.96 trillion, but that was a few minutes ago. It could be up beyond that. Oh, I see. Okay. He's now the world's first trillionaire. Can you imagine?
Congratulations.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
His success is attributed to his ambitious vision and ability to turn ideas into valuable companies. I had not heard this nickname from a guy that I've respected, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon. Do you know what Jamie Dimon has been referring to Elon Musk as?
What?
Our Einstein.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard that.
I mean, listen.
Our Einstein, Elon Musk.
You know, the Tesla's pretty popular, so I, you know.
Could Einstein not jump up either? I mean, seriously. So all of a sudden, now we have an audience at the end of the week. When you see him try to jump up.
Yeah.
He is the epitome of that old expression, white men can't jump.
That's true, yeah.
But anyway,
listen, the guy's brilliant.
Yes, he is.
No matter what you think of him personally.
No, I think he's brilliant.
Or his politics.
I don't have any bad thoughts.
I mean, yeah. Listen,
it's not like he's impregnating women and leaving them high and dry. I suspect he's got a contract and millions of dollars he gives them each time he impregnates them. That's my guess.
And it's pretty cool that his employees at SpaceX are also going to be overnight millionaires. So.
All of them. I say all of them.
So that's cool.
Many, many, many.
Yeah.
This happened when Apple happened and Microsoft. Yes. You know, that.
Sure.
If you were there and struggling from the beginning, mm-hmm. you get part of the payoff, which is the way it should go.
I mean, listen, this is what Silicon Valley was built on. It was built on startups.
And it hasn't happened like this in a long time, has it?
No. I mean, we all remember the 90s when the tech boom just went crazy.
Is that when we called them the go-go 90s?
I don't know if that was what they called them. I just remember it being a tech boom, and I just remember looking back. Boy, we should have all invested in Apple and IBM and all these tech companies that now are worth millions of dollars.
We should do what Warren Buffett always said to do: buy those index funds and forget about them. And if we had done that when we were younger, we'd be wealthy. But don't get me started on that. There is bad news out there. One Midland, Texas shooting, last I heard, 11 hurt, 1 killed. I don't know the answer to fixing this. But then one that's very, very annoying, and no one will do anything the way they need to do it. We have a Boston lemonade stand.
That was a horrible story.
Armed robbery at a Boston lemonade stand. I don't care how old the crooks were. I don't care who they are. They need to be disposed of now.
There is something wrong with this country when you're robbing a lemonade stand with a gun. And I don't mean to laugh because it's not funny.
Robbing a lemonade stand with a gun means...
But it's so ridiculous.
You're going to graduate to even worse crimes. So somebody has to take the stand and say, you know what? I don't care how old they are. They robbed a lemonade stand with a gun. They go away forever. And if it were up to me, it'd be even worse just to get them out of the gene pool. But they go away forever.
I can't argue with you. I cannot argue with you on that point.
They're just going to graduate to worse crimes. And then we're going to go, oh, I can't believe they killed all those people. Well, they were robbing lemonade stands when they were teenagers with guns. Okay, now why did I get myself worked up like that? Here, let me talk about something more positive. Your chance to win a trip to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire in the city of your choice. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets, premium VIP lounge access covered. It's your chance to sing along all night long with Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire a band introduced to me several years ago by my old friend and teacher, Tom Romer. The prize provided by Live Nation, you text this hour's national keyword, which is season, to 95819. That's season, S-E-A-S-O-N, to 95819. Then you're going to get a text back confirming your entry, date, and messaging rates may apply. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive or rob lemonade stands with a gun. Play four times each weekday for four chances to win. Official rules and more information at WJR.com. We wish you the best of luck. We continue in Focus coming up. More on the Gordie Howe Bridge with the one and only Nolan Findlay. Stay with us. Well, these things happen. It's a live show, and we had Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor of the Detroit News, and he was scheduled for right now, but called into a very important meeting that he couldn't control at the moment, so we'll try to find a place for him a little later in the show. Gives me a chance to mentioned the wonderful event last night that I was able to attend, and I thank Rod Alberts, the former head of the DADA, who's back helping them at the Detroit Auto Dealers Association and plans for the next auto show and all of that. But Rod Alberts, Paul Sabatini, and far too many to mention. We were at Big Rock Chop House. Tom Chalani was there, one of the owners, and Dario Bergamo came in a little bit later, but it was for the Oldfield Society. And you go, what is the Oldfield Society? Well, Barney Oldfield was America's first great auto racing superstar, one of the most colorful sports celebrities of the early 20th century, long before modern racing legends filled stadiums and television screens. Barney Oldfield thrilled crowds by driving at speeds many people considered impossible and perhaps a little insane. You know, at one point, he was fearless and drove at the incredible speed at that time of 60 miles per hour. Can you imagine what it'd be like for him on our expressways? The other day I was going 90 because I was being pushed by traffic. I couldn't keep up with traffic at 90. I was very uncomfortable. Anyway, Barney went the unbelievable speed of 60 miles per hour in 1903. Newspapers treated him like a celebrity. Crowds came from miles around just to watch him race. He actually raced cars for Ford Motor Company at one point. He really didn't have a lot of experience in that, but he did it. And he made a movie. He starred in 1913 as himself in the silent comedy film called Barney Oldfield's Race for Life. And the movie actually featured the famous Keystone Cops and others. I had not, they were playing parts of it up on the screens last night at this this great dinner. And everybody loved Barney because he loved great cars, fast cars. He loved cigars. He loved racing. He loved a lot of good things. And a lot of us got together to pay tribute to Barney Oldfield and the Barney Oldfield Society. You can find more information online about it, and it's worth looking into. We need more American heroes to hear about them and talk about them. Had you ever heard of him, Dave Rieger? Had you ever heard of Barney Oldfield?
I had never heard of him, but I have to say, I'm with you about, like, when I'm coming down to the Fisher Building and the Lodge.
Yeah.
You probably got to go close to 80, 90 miles an hour just to keep up with traffic.
It's unbelievable.
As you are blowing by the signs that all still say 55.
Yeah, it's just what is wrong with people? It is so dangerous.
And if you don't keep up with the speed,
you're
going to cause an accident.
Right.
It doesn't matter anymore. I don't think the lanes matter anymore.
No, it used to be.
Left lane is for the fast, and then the right lane is for the slower drivers and the trucks and whatnot, but it doesn't matter. You have to, because if you're in the right lane, you got to worry about the people merging in, and then if you're in the left lane, you got to keep up with the speed. So,
and then you're being pushed into this speed, and cars are following way too close. You know, I have a great distance between myself and the front car, and that people can't help themselves. They see that gap and they fill it.
Does your car, if you get too close to the one in front, does it make that beeping sound that is signaling you that you're too close to, and that you may be getting into an accident?
Yeah. And especially if I'm using cruise control.
That is one of the most annoying features on the safety features on these new cars, which you can adjust. You can adjust the length a little bit, but.
But here's the thing. You're going along and way too fast, and because you're going to get run over if you don't. And then a motorcycle goes by.
Oh, yeah.
About 100 miles an hour faster.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, and you don't see it. You merely hear it as it goes by, and you feel the suction, the draft from a motorcycle on your car. It gives you a better feeling for what they're doing out with the race cars and the drafting they do.
Sure.
But I'm just shocked there aren't more fatalities out there.
It just goes to show you that the Steve Kiefer Foundation, and we always broadcast from the distracted driving outing, so important to just pay attention to what's going on with your surroundings, because it literally only takes a quick second.
But if you just try to change lanes and you don't see them coming, it's over. It's just terrible. Anyway, I wanted to mention this. I don't know who forwarded this to me. I'm just glad they did. Could have been Michael Montrag. Could have been Bud Denker. Could have been Merrill Kane. Maybe Edward Williams, their PR people. The Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear produced strong results in 2026 with solid attendance, increased viewership, and best ever social media metrics. The Grand Prix continues to deliver impressive totals downtown Detroit. Dateline, June 12th. In its fourth year, back on the streets of downtown Detroit, the 2026 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, presented by Lear, delivered impressive results across the board as the event continued to raise the bar even higher during a memorable May 29th through the 31st race weekend. The three-day motorsports festival in the heart of the Motor City produced its best totals since its return to downtown Detroit, bolstered by thrilling racing on track and 3 days of picture-perfect weather that helped wave the green flag on summertime in southeast Michigan, equaling its top attendance totals from 2025 with a 10% increase in overall viewership and record social media engagement. The 2026 Detroit Grand Prix delivered on all fronts for its partners and fans, along with the city of Detroit and our surrounding communities. Sold out grandstands, pit lane suites, it was just fabulous. I'm happy that I was able to get there and happy that they continue to deliver for something that people put on their calendar year after year and come from far and near to be here for this wonderful event. Thank you to the Penske Corporation, to Bud Denker, who's joined us many times to promote it on the air, Mike Montry, the whole team. The Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear, another great report card for 2026. We should all be proud of that. So glad we're together on this Friday. It's a beautiful Friday. Had a heck of a storm last night, stormage all over the place. Still people without power, I think. And I believe that our power went off, but I can't be sure, because I didn't get up to check, and we have a whole house generator, which is what I've been suggesting for you through Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. It's just the right thing to do, and they're less expensive than they ever have been, and so very valuable, especially this time of year. Anyway, our friend Mark Hollis, well, we first met him when he was the athletic director at Michigan State University, doing a tremendous job there. Now, he, of course, is on JR Sundays from 8 to 10 in the morning in a show produced by the gentleman producing today's show, David Rieger. And he's the COO, this is his real job, COO of Rock Entertainment, and for the last few years, tournament director of the Rocket Classic, which is coming up at the fabulous Detroit Golf Club, July 30th through August 2nd. Mark, always a pleasure having you on board. Things are well?
Things are well. I just wanted to make one correction. I first met you when I was an assistant athletic director during a bus ride from Detroit to Spartan Stadium.
Were you on that bus with us when we learned of the switch?
I welcomed the bus to Spartan Stadium.
Oh, okay.
As you arrived, yes.
We in that bus. It's a long story, but Mike Feezy, may he rest in peace, told us we were going to a retreat. So he took all of our phones from us, which I thought was very weird. And then he said, we're going on this retreat. The next thing we know, our bus pulls in to Spartan Stadium. And I don't mean just like in the parking lot. We pulled in onto the field. And the big right. scoreboard said, welcome, WJR. And I went, what is going on? And that's when we
marching
learned.
Marching bands, everything. It was
the president of the university greeting us as we came off the bus, kind of like thinking, what's going on? And that's when right. we learned. The management had just signed a deal with MSU to stop carrying Michigan sports athletics and start carrying Michigan State again. Over the years, we've done both, and it's always been a good relationship. But I had forgotten that, Mark. You're absolutely right.
Right. A long time ago, when Luann Simon came up,
and we embraced, and all of that. It made Steve Courtney go, you knew about this? I go, no, I didn't know about it, but I'm not stupid. I'm a good business guy here. I'm going with the flow of the radio station. And there's no bigger MSU fan now than Steve Courtney.
Steve Courtney. No, you're no doubt.
All right. All fun. So,
but it's a beautiful day for golf.
Oh, today is especially beautiful, and I'm hoping and praying for great weather, July 30th through August a second, and you've got some pretty good players that are going to be there.
We really do. We've lined up some guys we've already announced, including Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, of course, our ambassador, Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, Cameron Young, and three of those guys are world ranked in the top 10, and just some great guys. Part of the reason of recruiting those players to come here is the people that they are. They're all people that are going to engage our community. They're happy to be here, and it's going to be a great, great week.
It's going to be a great week. It always is. And you guys have changed the face of PGA tournaments in that you were the first to look around and say, how do we affect our community? First of all, you brought it into the city of Detroit. But secondly, mm-hmm. you looked around and said, how do we affect our community? What can we do to better our community that we are having this tournament in? And sure enough, I'm going to guess virtually every tournament now across the country takes a look at their community and does various things to help the community. That started with you, Mark.
It really did. And I have to give all the credit, first of all, to Dan Gilbert for bringing the event to the city of Detroit back in 2019, and also to Laura Granum. And we hit a point during COVID where many events decided not to go. And we were very close to making that decision. And Laura Granelman brought forward a recommendation to the board that oversees the event that if we're going to do this, the people in Detroit are so – we were one of the most disconnected digital cities in the country, close to 20% connectivity. And through the Rocket Classic and partners that joined us, we've brought that number up to being a model city for the whole nation on how to develop connectivity, not just with signal, not just with connecting by wire, but having the equipment, having the education, and partners like Human IT and Black Tech Saturdays and so many others have really helped our city and our residents really thrive and develop opportunities. Think of COVID and not being able to get medical care or educational opportunities or apply for a job. Well, today, our residents in Detroit, much more connected, much more ability for upward mobility.
I'll tell you something else we learned that we had never even heard of, and I may not even be remembering it correctly, but the digital divide, that is, the number of people who didn't have available to them the services we all took for granted with Wi-Fi and digital and our connectivity with our computers and our phones and everything else. You guys pointed that out and you did something about it.
No, we changed it dramatically. And, as I mentioned, you think about COVID, not having that connection, it was almost impossible to do anything outside your home. And that became sort of taken for granted by many of us, but not by a lot of the Detroit residents that needed that. And That has changed. You know, I don't know the specific numbers, but it's kind of gone from 20% connected to well over 80% connected.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Through the Rocket Classic, that's been phenomenal.
Absolutely. We are sorry to see it go, but all good things come to an end at one time or another. And I suspect that Dan Gilbert and you and the entire team will come up with other ways to be very involved in our community and help raise money for charities and other things. That's at least what we're looking forward to, Mark.
There's no doubt. Big announcements coming Monday at our media day. I think Dave Rieger will be out there to capture all the news coming out for this year. But you're right. It's full speed ahead on the city of Detroit, from Dan Gilbert, from Rocket, all of our partners, really. And we're looking forward to celebrating July 30th to August 2nd this year. But there is so much more to do here in the city of Detroit. And we're excited to be part of it.
All right. Get your tickets. Be there. It's going to be spectacular. And as
RocketClassic.com. RocketClassic.com.
You've spoken just like a radio guy that we hear on JR Sundays, 8 to 10 in the morning, produced by the one and only David Rieger. RocketClassic.com.
Well, you're the best, Paul W. Yeah, you are the best, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Keep up the good work. Mark Hollis, COO, Rocket Rock Entertainment and Tournament Director of this final Rocket Classic. So you don't want to miss it. It's well worth going to. They got some great players, and we're going to put in an order for great weather at the beautiful Detroit Golf Club. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. All righty. This is a special moment for me because this reminds me of being a kid and growing up in Monroe and listening to my favorite radio station, WJR, and my favorite radio host, J.P. McCarthy. And J.P. always had interesting topics and had a guy on who, who's this guy with the accent and why is he talking so much about soccer? Well, I know why now. It's Roger Faulkner, who has written a book finally called You Can't Get There From Here, My Soccer Journey from Derby to Detroit, Roger N. Faulkner. And it's getting great reviews, and the timing is perfect since the United States takes on Paraguay tonight at 9 o'clock on Fox. And soccer has made its way to our neighborhood, if you will, after years and years and years and years of promotion. Roger Faulkner, it's not too early or too late to say congratulations for introducing soccer to the United States of America, Roger.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, and how delightful to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
It has been. With JP a lot, and then you mentioned in the letter you sent me that you also spent a little time with me, but it was with JP for years that you were able to educate all of us about this game that was so big in Europe that we didn't know that much about. And let me just give you a little taste of You Can't Get There From Here, which is available now everywhere you would buy your book. And the preface is great. The preface starts with, Henry Kissinger was a charming man, a little smaller than I imagined, but with an odd combination of a commanding presence and a puckish sense of humor. Well, how do you head me there? And that's the preface.
Nobody ever accused me of not name dropping.
Well, it worked. Tell us about the book, You Can't Get There From Here, especially now. And you must be pleased to see what's going on in America now with soccer.
Well, yeah, it's coincidence, really, in the sense that my life was not about soccer in the first place, but I got it into the sport when I was in Detroit, although I loved it in England, but I got involved with the organization of it here in Detroit. And because there was such a spirit of people who were pioneering to try and bring soccer to America, there was a camaraderie of all the people who were involved, from Alan Rothenberg at the top, who was a Michigander, down to the volunteers at the bottom. And it's been a fun exercise to watch it grow. And I'm not sure if it had been an established sport in the first place that I would have got involved. But making it grow and seeing what it did for kids and for fans has just been very pleasurable. And I've relayed a lot of that in the book as well as other things.
It's a wonderful book, just from having it sent to me and being able to page through it. And I am surprised at how popular soccer is among kids, or has been among kids for quite some time, but it never has gotten the kind of success in terms of having matches as we're now having. This is like the greatest success I think it's ever had in these United States, with everyone very excited about it happening here, the World Cup.
No question. It's arrived now. People aren't asking questions. Can World Cup be a success in the United States? Can the United States team compete? Those questions have been answered. And this is going to be a remarkably successful World Cup. But as you say, the kids are playing. It's it's tying with baseball for the third most popular sport in the United States. But the kids are by far playing that sport more than others.
I did not know till the book, frankly. You have JP in it quite a bit, but you also have his daughter, Kathleen, who I didn't know you married her.
Well, yeah, that's a fairly close tie to WJR, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't get much closer.
We were together for 20-odd years, and we finally made an honest woman of her and got married about 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations. How do we get a hold of this book, You Can't Get There From Here, by Roger N. Faulkner? How do we get it?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. Most of all the online retailers carry the book, and it is going very, very well. It's been reviewed very well, and I'm very happy. I didn't know whether I could write it or not, but it seems that I'm not too bad.
Well, for a guy who really leaned toward tennis and your flirtation with the International Tennis Tour, and you did a lot of global travel with Burroughs Corporation and all the different things you've done, you've incorporated it all into this book, and the timing is perfect with the World Cup here and, of course, with the United States playing starting off tonight. Congratulations to you, Roger. You sound fabulous, by the way.
Well, for an old guy.
Well, listen, you have to be kind of an old guy, because I used to listen to you when I was a little kid on the air with JP. How old are
Absolutely.
You now?
Why would you ask me that on the air? I'm 87, but I 87 think that, but, young.
What do you mean, why would I ask? You should be proud of being 87 and having yet another accomplishment with the release of this book. God bless you. That's
good news, sir.
For everybody.
I'm planning to live forever, and so far it's working.
Well, good. I am too. We'll do it together. We'll talk about the good old days when there were other people still around. Congratulations, Roger. God bless you.
Thank you, Paul.
Roger N. Faulkner. You remember the name. You remember the voice. You Can't Get There From Here, his perfect, timely book on soccer and life. Stay with us. All righty, hour number two with Relentless Positive Radio and the team, Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, getting her voice back, Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather First. And we're all here on this beautiful Friday. I had said earlier, no clouds in the sky. I see clouds now, but it's blue sky and it's a beautiful, beautiful day. I hope it's a beautiful weekend as well. Nolan Findlay is out of his meeting, so we're going to start off this hour with him. Front page of the Detroit News, it's something like still hanging or something. I don't have it right in front of me. My paper didn't come today, Nolan, and I had to look at it online, which I hate doing. But I don't know if it was the power outage or what happened. But isn't there a picture of the bridge on the front page? The Gordie Howe Bridge.
But I'm going to give you a little pro tip here. If you go to the Detroit News website, down in the right corner, when you scroll down, it'll say today's e-newspaper, and you could look at the newspaper online exactly as it looks in print.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
That's the way I read it.
Oh, you do? Well, I still get the print, and I get it delivered, and
me
I
too.
Pay the extra money, but I like the print. I just like sitting there with the newspaper in my hand, especially on the weekend.
Me too. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Not so crazy about that Sunday newspaper, but rest of the week, I like to have it in my hand.
Yeah, there's some other name on the Sunday paper. How long is that going to last like that?
Who knows?
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, the Gordie Howe Bridge, you know, I don't know what to say.
Here's what I think. I'm beginning to wonder if there's anything that Donald Trump can't screw up. That bridge is built. It's ready to open. It could have cars and trucks on it right now. Canada paid for the darn thing.
I know.
Didn't cost Michigan taxpayers a dime. Now he's out here trying to twist Canada's arm. How much money are you going to give us and when? Why would they ever give us a dime? We didn't, you know, we wrote this when this was first proposed. They didn't pay for the bridge. We didn't pay for the bridge.
No, we didn't. Canada did. And I was not.
We got no claim on that toll revenue.
I didn't like the whole idea, frankly. I said it at the time. I was like a lone voice. Let the Maroons build another bridge. They're going to take on the responsibility. Why put the state involved? Then it's a year late, and now we have all this issue. Now we 30 years of no money from getting, we don't get tax revenue. We don't get anything. Don't even get me started. But you're right. This should, it's ready. It should start. And no one's speaking up because everyone's afraid of President Trump to cross him. I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I think, obviously Canada is in a tough situation. Spent $5 billion and they got a bridge they can't make money off of, can't start paying back their bills. And we made a deal with Canada. Mm. We signed an agreement with Canada. And for, you know, Donald Trump to say, well, our word means nothing, our signature on a contract means nothing, I'm going to throw it all away, tells you a lot about who he is.
Well, there's been a lot of things he's done that I think are good, but the way he does many things is not so good. We're not used to it, and no one should get used to it, because it's not particularly the wisest and best way to go about doing things that, in fact, might be good. Again, I go back to what someone told me. I won't even tell you who told me, but they said a long time ago, and this happens because something bad will happen and then he'll make it worse. You know, things that he could take advantage of and show that one side is doing something incorrectly, but he'll say or do something that makes people then go for the people who are doing the wrong thing. It's too hard to explain, but this summed it up pretty well. The only time that President Trump is not shooting himself in the foot is when he's reloading his gun. Yeah. And this is another example of stepping into something that he, honestly, there was no reason to step into this. And I'm tired of living here and having to apologize to Canadian friends and to keep saying, no, we do love you. Don't worry about what Washington says, because we're the ones who interact with the Canadians on a daily basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, I tell you, Paul, I've been interviewing candidates for office for our endorsements for the last few weeks, and Republican candidates are worried to death about what he's going to do to them this fall. And, you know, it's getting pretty close to point of no return in terms of the damage he's done to Republican candidates in this election. And if Democrats take over that Congress, Donald Trump's going to be packing his bags.
Well, there's no question that at the moment that the first thing they're going to do is what we've all predicted they will do. They will go after him. And
of course,
I don't know what he can do about that other than maybe have paid better attention to ways to help the Republicans hang on to seats that they may very well lose.
And what if he didn't do it instead? He's the primary. Sure thing, Republicans, just like he did in 2018. Oh, you didn't go along with me, so I'm giving you a primary. And to a person, almost, those people he supported over the incumbents lost in the general election. And it'll happen this time, too.
So what are people, you're out there way more than I am. We've got Nolan Findlay with us, editorial page editor, the Detroit News, co-author of the Civility book, one that should be must reading for people in Washington, Lansing, and everywhere else, a guide to building bridges, no pun intended, across the political divide with Stephen Henderson and Lynn Gollidner. But What's somebody like Rick Snyder saying, who's not afraid to speak out, but I haven't heard anything regarding what's gone on with the bridge, and it could be argued that the bridge is his baby.
Yeah, well, I had a column yesterday on his observations, and he talked about what he said is Trump is once again spreading misinformation about the bridge. They had a good deal, and we should be using the bridge today. And the governor was quite firm in his position that Trump ought to get out of the way and let this deal go forward as originally made. You can't let a $5 billion bridge get built and then say, oh, wait a minute, we've changed our mind.
No, you can't do that. Although the president might think so, you can't do that. And I did see in your column some of the things that you talked about, the impact of the Gordie Howe crossing, according to who was a great governor, even though people don't want to remember that on the Democrat side, yeah. Rick Snyder, talks about more jobs, more prosperity on both sides of the river. It'll make it less expensive, easier to do business between the two countries, and that results in jobs and better quality of life for everybody. And he says we need to take a longer view. If you think about a cycle being 5 years or 10 years, this span is going to be here for 125 years.
Yeah,
there'll be multiple ups and downs, but the long-term trend line is up and will continue to be up. God bless him for that.
Yeah, you should have seen him out there. You know, I was with him out there in Delray. He was looking at that bridge. You've never seen a guy so excited in your life. I mean, he was tickled to death.
Yeah. Well, we'll get through it right after the weekend when we sign again. We're told we're going to sign a peace agreement with Iran.
And, is the war over again, Paul?
They're going to end the war for the 15th time. And and God knows we won it in the first week, but... somehow
never
they still shot down
like
jets and helicopters, and I don't know why. There may be a method to the madness, but I have not yet figured out what it is.
Right now, it's evolved into just plain madness. But, you know, people tell him the greatest military victory they've ever seen in history.
Yeah, I kind of want to wake up and find out that there was this massive plan that we just didn't get, and it's been carried out beautifully. But that's like me standing at the pile of the horse manure, digging with a shovel, believing there's that pony I've always wanted at the bottom.
I don't know. It's been a wild ride, hasn't it, Paul?
It has. And that's coming from a guy who supports him. Anyway, Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor, The Detroit News, co-author of the Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide, along with your friend Stephen Henderson and Lynn Gollidner. Thank you, Nolan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
115 WJR. You know, we had Roger Faulkner, a name from the past that JP used to have on. I had him on a few times, but JP had him on a regular basis. Roger's written a book called You Can't Get There From Here, My Soccer Journey from Derby to Detroit. Well worth picking up. And yesterday, John Nayo, the fine Detroit News sports analyst writer, wrote a wonderful piece. Nayo, Detroit's long shot World Cup bid kicked off U.S. soccer boom. And it starts with all these years later, Roger Faulkner says he can still hear the laughter. Well, the cheers, too, of course, including those chants of USA, USA, echoing inside the sweltering Pontiac Silverdome back on June 18, 1994, as the U.S. men's soccer team faced Switzerland in their World Cup opener in Detroit. Good job, John Nayo, but you always do a nice job there in the Detroit News. But if you look for yesterday's paper, you can read all about it, or you can go online, of course, and read it, too, and then get a hold of this book, Perfect Timing for Roger Faulkner and Soccer. And I remember him being such a promoter of soccer when nobody was really talking about it at the time. We have Jamie Butters, our scheduled guest, but we're having a little connection problem. He's the host of Autotown, heard Saturday mornings at 7 right here on 760 WJR or wherever you get your podcasts now. He's been an auto journalist for over 30 years and knows the industry from the C-suite to the showroom. Maybe we'll get him on today. Maybe we won't be able to connect. We'll run out of time in 5 minutes from right now. Meanwhile, President Trump plans to nominate Jay Clayton, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York and former SEC chairman, as director of national intelligence. You'll recall the president faced pushback over his decision to name our local guy, Bill Pulte, as acting director, which then led to a standoff in Congress. The president has emphasized Clayton's respect in the legal community and urged the Senate to confirm him quickly. Clayton oversees a wide range of cases as the U.S. attorney in Manhattan, including terrorism, security fraud, and public corruption. The president has insisted, or had insisted, on naming Bill Pulte as acting director to downsize the office, despite calls for a permanent nominee and somebody with some experience in the area. Here's a story. Humans perform these work skills better than AI, if you've been wondering. Soft skills like empathy and ethical decision-making are crucial as AI adoption increases. Organizations value candidates who communicate well and show leadership initiative, something AI will never be able to do without faking it. Interpreting body language, empathy, and sensitivity, skills that are still best performed by humans. Building personal relationships and resolving conflicts, also valuable skills that AI struggles to replicate. Deep knowledge in your field helps in second-guessing AI-generated results and checking for inaccuracies. So there's all kinds of different things that are going on out there. And I'm told that we have connected with Jamie Butters, so we will take a little time and spend it with him right now. Jamie, it's a pleasure catching up with you. We thought we might have lost you.
I'm glad we were able to make the connection. How you doing,
Tell Paul? I'm good. Tell us about Autotown.
Oh, man, it's been so much fun. This is the new show I have on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. You know, my old co-host used to call me the mayor of Autotown. So when I got the chance to create a show of my own, I'm like, let's create Autotown. So I have a co-host. We drive around the block, which is, you know, where we talk about the news. This week, my co-host was Mike Martinez from Automotive News, but we've had Elizabeth Creer and other folks, you know, from Center for Automotive Research and really fun things. We do the Stop at the Coffee Shop, which is the interview segment. This week, we talked with Merrick Masters about the UAW settlement and about Sean Fain's chances at winning re-election this year. We go browsing the dealership lot. It's sort of, you know, because I think, you know, people do want to hear about products. The savvy consumers, you wouldn't necessarily call them an influencer to their face, but the kind of guy that in the neighborhood that people turn to ask advice for what they should buy. I think those people want to listen and want to hear, you know, how the industry is affecting what's available for sale. And then I have another segment called the Town Hall where, you know, we'll do a poll with the audience and then we talk about how they voted. So, you know, this week we talked about Lincoln. You know, does Lincoln need an off-roader? Should there be a Bronco for the Lincoln brand? Or maybe a sports car would be cool. So fun discussions, fun conversations on the show.
Well, Jamie Butters has the experience as an auto journalist for over 30 years. He knows the industry inside and out. And I'm told each episode breaks down the trends, strategies, policy shifts influencing what gets built, sold, and driven. So whether you work in the auto industry or simply want to better understand it, since we are all affected by it, Autotown delivers the insight and context to keep you informed and engaged every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on 760 WJR or wherever you get your podcasts. So it's underway. It might be a little late for me to say break a leg, but I'll say it. Break a leg, Jamie.
Thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you, and we'll be listening in. Jamie Butters, host of Autotown. Again, Saturday mornings at 7 on 760 WJR. It's 129.
And now, WJR is proud to present Rieger Reviews It.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Featuring film critic Dave Rieger.
Suddenly, Dave has a great job.
Sponsored by Wiggly's.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Oh, I love the new slide. Rieger Reviews It. For those of you able to see it, not many are, but in our Facebook and YouTube pages, streaming our live video during the show now. We just started that not too long ago. And all of this greatness is sponsored by Wiggly's Famous Eastern Market Corned Beef. Dine in or carry out the best Wiggly's corned beef sandwiches around at Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's Eastern Market. They are the best. I wish I could get there right now. They're open every day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And while you're there, be sure to say hi to Victor, the owner, and his kids. He loves his customers as much as the corned beef, and you are going to love it all at Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street, Detroit's Eastern Market. All right, the very busy Dave Rieger producing today's show, in for Mike Parsons, and doing this special on these movies. And I, the second one is the one that is going to be able to be heard or watched at home. And I've got a little Earth, Wind, and Fire story to share after that. But the first movie is one that certainly people have been waiting around for because, I don't know, it's been a long time since Steven Spielberg has directed a film, and he has, and it's called Disclosure Day, and it's in theaters today.
Yeah, this is another alien movie for Mr. Spielberg. It's kind of a science fiction espionage thriller taking place in present day 2026. And the plot basically is that you've got a group of whistleblowers that are racing to reveal a decades-long government conspiracy to cover up the existence of not just aliens, but peaceful alien life on Earth. So they're trying to, you know, they think the government has been covering this up for decades and that there is peaceful alien life on Earth. And you've got two people, Daniel Kellner, played by Josh O'Connor, and Margaret Fairchild, played by Emily Blunt, who each have specific ties to the aliens. And then you have Colin Firth, who plays Noah Scanlon. He runs this company called Wardex that's trying to stop them from getting out all of this information,
even though
that the government has been supposedly hiding for decades.
And they're friendly aliens.
Yes, they're peaceful aliens.
So they're not
aliens.
Protecting us. They're just lying to us.
They're just you know, they're not here to invade the aliens. They're not here to cause chaos. They're here for peace while there is a conflict, a global conflict going on in the world.
All right.
During the movie.
Let's listen. Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. Here it is.
What did you steal?
Secrets. The data they paid me to protect.
Are they people?
No.
Good morning, Kansas City. Let's take a look at today. Today is today's.
Wow.
Do you understand what she's saying?
I hear her. It's gibberish. I can't understand it.
I can.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I've seen the promo and it was a little confusing, but there you are.
Yeah. So there you go.
What did you think?
I thought it was a little slow, to be honest, to kind of get to the point where we were going to finally unveil what they've been hiding. And so it was okay. I think it's getting a lot of publicity. It's obviously Steven Spielberg. Obviously, he's done alien movies in the past that have been incredible. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T.
So, unfortunately, the bar was set high by himself.
Yeah,
he set it high, and he's not hitting it?
You know, I gave it 2.5 Wigglies. I just thought it was okay. The person that I saw it with, she liked it a lot better. So I think that it's going to be just how you perceive it. If you're a fan of Aliens, I think you'll like it a lot. I just thought it was a little slow for my taste.
All right. 2.5 Wigglies sandwiches, disclosure day. Now, the next one is you don't have to go out and spend money. You just have to have the right HBO Max at your house to watch it. And when you told me about this, Earth, Wind, and Fire, to be celestial versus That's the Weight of the World, which I don't get, you'll explain. But I explained to you that I remember just so clearly when I first was introduced by the band Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was at my friend Tom Romer's house, friend for life, teacher in high school, but then we became lifelong friends, best friends. And he said, I want you to hear this. And he had a closet that he opened the door, and that was where his incredible stereo system was, way better than any stereo system to this day I've ever had. And he cranked it up, and the crispness and the musicality of Earth, Wind, and Fire, it wasn't just guys with guitars, it was horns and saxes and all the instrumentation. I don't know if it was before Chicago or during Chicago, the band, which also did all that. But that's when I was introduced to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they were spectacular. Thank you, Tom Romer, for introducing me to that band a million years ago alongside Lake Erie. So tell me about this documentary.
Great documentary. It's about the band, but it's really more about Maurice White, the founder of Earth, Wind, and Fire, and where the celestial and the weight of the world comes in. He was very into numerology, and he was very into alternative things of medicine, and he kind of brought that into his music. But they did go into the studio, and they exactly said what you said, was they mixed their songs so you could hear each individual part of the band
so crisp.
Separately, so crisp, and they took out all of the background, and that's when they really exploded. And I didn't know much about Earth, Wind, and Fire, how they started, and how popular they were, and their songs are used in so many television commercials. I thought it was very well done. HBO does a phenomenal job with these documentaries. It seems that everyone I've watched, whether it be about music or sports or anything, they just do a phenomenal job. I gave it 3 Wigglies. I thought it was really good. If you're a fan of Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. It is 2 hours long. It was directed by Questlove, the drummer for Jimmy Fallon's for the band on the Tonight Show.
Quite a talented guy doing a lot of films, yeah.
And it was very well done. I think if you're a fan of Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think you will really, really enjoy it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope my dear, dear friend Tom Romer is going to look forward to it, too, just to being alerted to Earth, Wind, and Fire, to be celestial versus That's the Weight of the World on HBO, an original documentary and directed by Questlove, about 2 hours long and streaming on Max.
Yes.
So enjoy.
Yeah, and it just a lot of interviews, obviously, for, you know, people, Lionel Richie and all these, you know, fans of
it says here key interviews. Barack Obama,
yes.
Michelle Obama.
Yes, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are in it because they brought Earth, Wind, and Fire to their first big event at the White House when he got when he became the president. So the first big ball that they had at the White House.
Yeah, and they had lunches,
yes.
And they had concerts.
And the first,
I remember, I went to a couple of them.
And
they did a lot of stuff.
The first one was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I didn't know that. I didn't remember that. But all good, and it'll be worth watching. Even if you don't really know Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think you're going to enjoy this. It sounds like it. You give it 3 Wigglies. All right.
Yes.
Great job this week producing the last 3 days and doing the work that you're doing, as well as this great new job you have, which is not so new anymore, doing the movies. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Paul W.
Dave Rieger here with us in Focus on WJR. Well, I did not see this, but Dave Rieger did. Oh, I should thank everyone while I have time for the team, Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons. Danielle Mason, Queen of the Switches, Rich Luzinski, keeping track of WJR traffic and weather first, Marie Osborne, Ray Templin, who's helped us on the road, Ann Thomas, who oversees everything programming, and we thank her, and my Kim Smith, who helps me in ways you can't even imagine and adds to the show all the time as well with our relentless positive radio that we try to have. So I did not hear this. Apparently, Dr. Oz, who turned 66 yesterday, was in the Oval Office with the president, and the president said something to the effect, you correct me if I'm wrong here, said something to the effect of, you don't have to wish me a happy birthday Sunday because I'm not happy to be turning 80. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, I mean, Mr. President, with all due respect, I know you think these things through before you speak. I'm sorry. Imagine the alternative.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd much rather turn 80 than the alternative.
100%.
And then he said to somebody that he felt the same way he did 50 years ago, so he feels like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Is that due to his great diet? What do you think it is?
Well, that's what he said. He said, I don't know why. It's not because I eat the best foods. So this was about a month ago when he made that comment that he says he feels the same way as he did 50 years ago. He said, maybe junk food is good and the other food is no good.
Whatever. U.S. Army celebrating their birthday Sunday also is Flag Day.
Yes.
I've got my flag up all the time, and I hope more people will put their flag out, especially for the United States and the 250th anniversary. Now, Sunday he will be, obviously, out at the Octagon on the, I think it's the South Lawn of the White House, for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, the UFC 250.
Right.
I'm not going to hide this. I mean, if people love it, they love it, but I find it incredibly distasteful and only worsened by the fact that it's there on the front lawn of the White House. And there's actually been people say, we should leave that up there all the time. That's what we want the world to see at our White House. In the back, there's a really big ballroom. And in the front, there's this great octagon for people to kill each other.
Just get a workout. Just go get a workout in at the octagon.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
It just shows that, I guess, to put it as nicely as I can, different strokes for different folks. I hope no one dies in that octagon because that would be just the latest that he will be blamed for a huge mistake on the front lawn of the
White House. Didn't think about that, but that's an interesting point you bring up.
Well, it is brutal. It is our version of
the gladiators.
The gladiators, and why would we bring back the gladiators for our entertainment? Well,
didn't Roosevelt used to have boxing matches back in the day at the White House? Somebody said
I wasn't big on that either. I wasn't around to complain.
Yeah. But how were those boxing matches back in the day?
You know, I'll never forget that guy with that haymaker. No, I don't like any of that stuff. But this has just gotten much worse, the Ultimate Fighting thing. I mean, you can be kneeling on his arms so he can't protect himself, and you waylay into his head and his face until, I don't know what the ref has to see, the guy's dying or
the ref
or
makes
what.
A decision on when the other fighter's had enough.
And then the crowd yells, well, he's not even dead yet! What are you doing? You know, it's sick. All right, I got to get off this topic. I'm going to get a smile on my face. In for Ryan Ermani with JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani, it's Marie Osborne. You all set to go, Riri?
We are, and I cannot agree with you any more than all that you just said about that, whatever that fighting thing that's going on.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighting.
Ultimate Fighting, yes. I just, every point you made, 110%, I'm back.
This may be the first time we've ever been in complete agreement.
Stop. We agree on things like, you know, baked goods, chocolate cake and stuff.
Yes.
You know.
And how great a guy your husband John is.
Oh,
we agree on that.
Yes, we do.
So there's lots that we agree on.
Yes.
All right. Thanks to the team. Stand by for news. And then it's Marie Osborne in for Ryan Ermanni. She always puts together a great show. You have a great weekend. I'll thank them again. I got time. Dave Rieger, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Mike Parsons, Marie Osborne, Ray Templin, Ann Thomas, and my Kim Smith. Make it a great weekend. Regards, Paul W. Smith.